Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Support for this podcast comes from U.S. Bank. When it's time for a new credit card, the best ones do way more than just buy stuff. And that's why U.S. Bank offers credit cards that make every day more rewarding. Earn cash back, score points when you shop, dine out, travel, or binge watch, or get a low intro APR. U.S. Bank credit cards were designed to fit your lifestyle. So make every day more rewarding and check out usbank.com/creditcard. U.S. Bank credit cards are issued by U.S. Bank National Association N.D. Some restrictions may apply. Member FDIC.
Fight IQ presented by RotoWire is back. What's up, guys? I'm Mike Alexander, a.k.a. RotoWan, filling in for Sean tonight. The regulars are here, though. We've got Chris Olson. What's going on, Chris?
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for coming back and doing this again, Mike. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, happy to be here, guys. Joe Sun Tzu, how you doing, man?
Well, I mean, despite going 9-3 on last week's card, I actually lost a fairly significant amount of money. But there is a silver lining to that cloud because I dominated the Monday NASCAR slate. I mean, like I like tied for one of the finals, you know, nice. Like the live final I tied for. So I got a playoff going. I'm going to be sweating an MMA card and a playoff in NASCAR, of all things, this Saturday while I'm at a wedding in Dallas. So
you might be the only man doing that.
At the wedding, for sure.
Yeah,
I mean, but yeah, so like I said, I was very, very as down as I was, like, because who goes, like, that's why DFS MMA is a fickle bitch. Well, all DFS is a fickle bitch. You go 9-3, you expect to win some money.
Yeah, it took such a high score because there were so many, favorites winning and big scores being posted. Very few, you know, median scores.
Well, and then 60 people tied for first.
Yeah,
in
that was
nuts. It's only 10% of the time does the optimal lineup have zero salary left.
Yeah.
So the optimal lineup had zero salary left. So 60 people tied for first. It's like a showdown NBA contest.
Yeah.
You know, it's like where you got all these people tying for first. That hardly ever happens in MMA, but there you go.
Yeah, you could feel it coming, you know, so many favorites were winning early on and posting scores. It was like, this is heading for some weird...
And then the expected underdogs, like Cole Smith, you know, like everybody was on Cole Smith, right?
Yep.
So, anyway.
Yeah, so it was interesting in contests like Iron Man, and then this week we've got MMA...
that's right, Brett's
World
contest.
Championship starting.
Shout out to Brett Apley, man. Yeah. This is amazing that, you know, after the... And I'm not going to get on a soapbox, but I really liked the season-long contest. And I was like one of the early guys involved with the season-long contest. And for those of you that don't know, the season-long contest was a DraftKings contest that went by points, DraftKings points, which was very cool. It was season-long. It was like one buy-in fee. And it was great. And I was one of the people involved in the beginning. It's just I didn't have the time to manage it. So unfortunately, the one guy who put his hand up to manage it is had ended up having a less than stellar, how can I put this? Less than stellar accountability relative to the funds that were sourced. So that contest fell apart. People ended up having to wait to get paid. I understand it's unfortunate, but there's like 12 people who didn't ask for refunds for this year that didn't get paid the money back. So anyway, we'll move on.
Yeah, well, we've got some, you know, some better people handling some nice contests now, yeah. And Sean and Brett. So thanks to them for sticking their necks out and being willing to organize what are not easy undertakings. Yep. But yeah, getting on to this week, we've got UFC 237 down in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. This is a big one. Jumping right in. Well, actually, first I'll do a quick read here. Yeah, you can get a free trial, a free 10-day trial if you go to rotowire.com/free. You get all the premium content, no credit card required. And if you're listening on the podcast version, this is a replay of the live recording from Thursday night on YouTube. Now we can jump in to the first fight, which we've got a replacement in. Talita Bernardo taking on Vivian Araújo. I don't see a line on this. Do you guys?
I don't think so. Let me check DraftKings.
Because this was really late. Let's see.
So we've got Bernardo at 9,300. You've got Araújo at 6,900. The only line I'm seeing is still showing Gatto. So I'm not going to take that line as an actual wager. So this is a pretty clean and dry fight for me, but Bernardo is just a better fighter. You know, I don't have a lot on Araújo. Do either of you guys?
I do, and we're going to probably disagree early because I'm going to pick Araújo to win.
Tell me why.
It's going to be one of my upsets.
My friend.
So anyway, I did watch what limited film there is. I think this is actually a much more difficult matchup for Bernardo. Miss Araújo, she is the Pancras salt. That's the Japanese promotion, strawweight champ. She also, her only loss is to Frodo. Frodo, if you don't know that name, is a beast who actually fought Olivia De Sousa to a split decision. De Sousa won, but that is arguably a top five, if not top 10, women's strawweight. Came over from Evicta, dominated her first couple fights in the UFC. So in her last fight in Pancras, she was fighting a Japanese veteran, 38, yes, but a veteran, very experienced. You know, that was, you know, either to defend her title or for the title. I'm not really sure which one, but she won that fight via doctor stoppage. And I don't pretend to be the biggest technical analyst. I'm more about the narrative, but I'm going to try to throw a little technical in here. The way that she operates is she's very right centric. Like, so she'll lead with the right kick and then follow up with the right cross. Lead with the right kick and follow up with the right cross. She was piecing up, you know, Emma all night. It ended up going doctor stoppage. Her face was just beat up badly. Now, I wish she would also throw combinations. It doesn't seem to be in her repertoire as of yet. She also has a really quick, fast pitch, like muscle takedown. Like she runs in, she gets the takedown. I think she got two or three takedowns in that fight or well and got some really nice ground and pound in. So I don't think anyone's going to be on her. 4 days notice. She's going to be very low owned. I believe she actually has even a height advantage, even though she's not the natural. Is this a 125 fight? Or,
I got the UFC showing both at 5'4". But
oh, okay. I thought I saw one was 5'6", the other. But I mean,
that's always possible with their, you know.
So anyway, look, I'm not enamored by Bernardo. I don't think she's that great a fighter. I certainly would. I mean, you know, I am contemplating when numbers do come up, and I do not see a number on her yet on DraftKings Sportsbook either. I'm actually contemplating making a wager on her just because if I'm going to get plus 400, plus 500, I'm not saying she's perfect. Like she could have octagon jitters, but she is another Brazilian. And I'm going to go with the dog here. I mean, as soon as I saw that tape, I actually went and built more lineups around her in DraftKings. And needless to say, at her price point, you could really get good you can really get good value and build some pretty top heavy lineups when you're throwing in someone at that price point. So
yeah, that's an interesting point you bring up there, Joe, because the question for me with cash lineups this week is, are you going to stack the main event or are you going to take one of these, you know, sub 7K guys as your salary relief? Because with, you know, with the two main event fighters being, you know, in the mid range, you don't need to stack them and still get some favorites in there. Do you guys have a preference in that realm?
I'll go and then I'll let Chris make the pick since I've been dominating the dialogue for this fight. So
yeah, what's going on here?
Okay, sorry, Chris. So anyway, I am generally I'm a very selective stacker. So the last 2 weeks, I stacked Lineker. Sanhagen got 158 points. Last week, I stacked another three-round fight. I can't remember which one it was off the top of my head. It did not work nearly as well. The main events, most people only like to stack the main event. They go with the five rounds. There are people on some of the boards that I participate in that are saying, you know, this, you know, the main event is a no-brainer stack. I don't know that anything's a no-brainer stack. Anyway, by the way, again, Tapology, for what it's worth, has the underdog at 5-6 and Viviane at 5-6. And again, Tapology has been wrong before and has Tatiatla at 5-4. So I don't know, for whatever that's worth.
Chris? All right, so Chris, you're on the underdog here too.
Yeah, and thank God I get to actually say something. I was missing the sound of my own voice there. But
there you go.
Yeah, no, here we go. No, I am on the dog pretty well. I agree with most of what Joe said. And I'll add one thing is that I love how on her toes she is. She bounces around.
Right, I forgot very, that. Damn it.
You're very right. Quick, very in and out. See, I'm here to pick you up. Don't worry about it,
thank
Joe.
You.
But yeah, and I also like, I mean, she doesn't throw hands in combination, but as Joe mentioned, she'll throw that kick and then the quick little punch. As I said, she gets in and out. I think she's the better wrestler than Bernardo. Bernardo is more of a clinch takedown fighter. And I saw the dog here in her fight that Joe mentioned kind of hit a double leg and turn the corner and go right into side control. So I love that. Bernardo just sort of, I don't know, her striking just consists of, you know, trying to throw counter hooks, or she really can be led by what her opponent does. She was getting hit by Sarah Moraes in their fight. I mean, she's very hittable. She's not going to take initiative here, I don't think. And I don't think she's going to do enough. I don't think she's that diverse a striker, and I don't think her wrestling is as good. Now, if this fight does go to the ground, I expect her jiu-jitsu to be better. But I think that's a big if, as I said, with the movement. And yeah, for 6,900, look, I'm in here because I think, at least in cash, there are a couple of fighters coming up that you're going to really want, you're going to really need. So I think that this is a good play for it, and I am very much in favor of it.
And so, by the way, Chris, this fight is at 135. So even though it's 4 days notice, she's not going to I assume she's not going to be having to cut that much weight because she's been fighting at strawweight before.
Right. All right. So there you go. So another reason to get in there with the dog.
Yeah. And then, Bernardo at 9,300 is definitely something to be concerned about, hitting value there. So, all right. On to the next fight. We've got Hani Barcelos. I've got minus 1,100 at the moment. That's huge. And Carlos Houchin at plus 700. Barcelos, up and comer, local guy. Carlos is a Peruvian southpaw. The read on him is that, you know, he's got some power. He comes to bang, and that's about all I've got on him. Chris, you got anything else on this underdog late replacement?
I think you pretty well covered it. His problem is he basically just likes to stalk and swing, but he has no defense whatsoever. He throws hard. But he was even getting tagged up in some of his regional fights before getting finishes. So he's basically just, you kill me, I kill you before you kill me, which I don't think is going to work with a guy like Barcelos. First of all, the one thing I love so much about Barcelos, is his hand speed. He's got very quick hands. He's got very good in and out movement. We've seen him lean on his wrestling a little bit, when he, when he feels like he has to. In that Chris Gutierrez fight, he leaned on it quite heavily. I just think, for what it's worth, the opponent here doesn't seem like a bad wrestler scrambler, but I don't think he would be on Barcelos' level there either. I like Barcelos here a ton. I think we can save a little time here because I don't think there's that much more to say. I think Barcelos probably knocks him out, but I think he can get it done pretty much anywhere.
Joe, how much trust are you putting in Barcelos at 9,600?
Yeah, a lot. I think this guy is being groomed, honestly. Carlos has been fighting on the Peruvian regional scene. He does train, with the Pit Bulls, but hasn't really fought anybody great. If you look at some of the records of the guys he's fought, he's kind of been a little sheltered. In any case, I heard a rumor that Rayoni's father is a red belt, which is red belt is like the highest level, I believe that you can get. So this is a guy they're grooming. This doesn't really make a lot of sense from a matchmaking perspective. You would think that they would try to get him, to fight someone much higher up. But in any case, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't, I just don't bet fighters at odds like that. But DraftKings, yeah, definitely lock him in cash.
All right, moving on. Next fight, we've got Warley Alves taking on Sergio Moraes. Alves -135. Moraes at +115. Alves 8,600. Moraes 7,600. A little bit more of an even matchup here. Joe, which way are you leaning in this one?
Yeah, this is a tough one. I heard, some Twitter chatter that Alves looks just totally bricked up, but I don't know that that's necessarily a good thing because he's notorious for having gas tank issues. Moraes is much more measured. Obviously older. He's got seriously good jiu-jitsu. He might have to weather an early storm. I will have shares of both guys on DraftKings. I'm going to probably, it's not a super confident pick because I'm definitely going to have more shares of Moraes in DraftKings, and I'm going to actually pick him to win here. I just don't like Alves's gas tank, and if Moraes can get through the first round and a half, then I think perhaps he could, maybe catch him late in the sub or grind out a decision.
What about you, Chris?
So, yeah, this one isn't all that close for me. I think that it's only a matter of time before Moraes gets his first knockout in the UFC. How this dude fights, he just sort of comes forward and throws big bombs from wild angles. Even in that Tony Martin fight, and I picked Tony Martin, or Anthony Rocco Martin, as we call him now. I picked him in that fight, but it wasn't without a little bit of teeth grinding, because every time that he backed him up and started throwing those big shots, he knew that Martin could go down. He weathered it. I don't think Alves is going to weather it. I think we've seen Alves have some trouble before when guys are really pressuring him. And I think obviously Moraes is going to do that. Joe mentioned the gas tank issue, which I think is going to be a problem for Warley. On the contrary, Sergio doesn't really get tired, or at least he doesn't fight tired. When he throws all his big hooks, but he's still there in the third round doing it, and I think that's going to be a really big advantage for him here. I think that I'm going to say that he gets a dog knockout here. I just don't see Alves hanging around enough. I don't see him having enough space to use his kicking game, and I think it's really going to hurt him. So Moraes is a big pick for me.
So you don't think this fight's going to go to the mat?
I would say no. I mean, Moraes doesn't really work his takedown game. Now, we saw a little bit of him try to do it in the Martin fight. I think that was kind of out of desperation more than anything else. We don't usually see it. If it does, all the better for us Moraes bettors, because I think he would probably dominate there in the top position. But I think mostly it's going to be contested on the feet.
Yeah, Moraes, I'm going to pick as well. +325 inside the distance. not a great inside the distance number, but for a guy at 7,600, that's not too bad. All right, next fight up, Luana Carolina, minus 175, taking on Priscilla Cotrera, plus 155. Carolina is 8,900 on DraftKings. Cotrera, 7,300. Carolina, newcomer. Cotrera, we've seen her, but she's been more of a punching bag. Joe, another women's fight to break down here. What do you got?
Yeah, okay, so it's interesting. Carolina, if you look at, I mean, look, anybody can pull up her fight stats on Tapology. As she started as a fighter, she was a knockout fighter, as you expect. You know, like, your progression is you're good, you're knocking people out. You start stepping up in competition, and she starts going to decisions. I didn't think her fight on Dana White Contender Series, where she won a unanimous decision, was all that impressive. Making her UFC debut at, 8.9K? Yep. That's a serious risk. Priscilla's had a tough go in the UFC. Obviously, having 2 years of her life taken away from Val. I think that McCann fight, if that fight's anywhere but the UK, there's a doctor stoppage of that fight and she gets her first UFC victory. They call her zombie girl because she's tough as hell. Yep. I don't see her getting finished. And for that reason, God, I'm going to do another dog play here. You know, I'm going to take Priscilla, not because I think she's a great fighter. I think she's tough. I don't think she's going to get finished. And I think that there's a lot of questions to be answered about Carolina. So I'm going to go with the dog again here.
What do you got on this one, Chris?
See, this is a tough one for me because I agree with you that I don't really see Cachoeira being finished, but I also don't really like her as a fighter. I mean, she's just so upright, and she does one thing, which is throw hooks. She gets tagged a lot, and for all that, I agree with you. For the record, that Carolina's fight on the Contender Series wasn't all that memorable. But what I like about her is she's a Muay Thai fighter who's pretty light on her feet. You don't really see that. Usually they're more flat-footed, which would have given Cachoeira an advantage if that were the case. But, you know, you see her in there bouncing around. The reason that I'm having a pause here, because ordinarily if I have a more diverse striker with movement in this spot, I would say, yeah, take her. But my problem is that she was sort of getting stalled out by a smaller fighter against the cage in that fight. And that really kind of concerns me, because Cachoeira is big and strong, and if she wants to muscle a takedown, she can do it. And if she wants to work in the clinch, she can do it. So that could make this a stally, grindy kind of fight. I think in the end, I still have to pick the dog here, just because I just don't like it that much about Carolina's game. And Cachoeira's game. And I think that Carolina is going to be able to keep enough distance to not really get hit by big strikes and tag her up in the process. So, I mean, for a cash play, I don't think it's terrible for Carolina. And I do think that there is going to be a pretty measured strength disparity here, which is a concern. But I think the pick has to be Carolina.
So you are picking the favorite then. You initially said you were picking the dog, I thought. Okay. So
I don't recall that, but I did.
Okay. I'm picking Carolina.
Yeah, one of my rules of MMA DFS is don't pick women's regional darlings that are debuting expensively against UFC vets. So
it's not a bad rule. But UFC vets is sort of a chain. Yeah. I know it's technically correct, but you know.
Yeah. Not that Cotrera is a decorated fighter by any means, but
yeah.
It's, you know, at 8,900, that's just really hard to hit in your UFC debut against somebody who's been around the block at least. So by default, I would take Cachoeira, although I'm not that interested in this fight. All right, this is an interesting one for many reasons. We've got BJ Penn fighting again. He's coming in at plus 525 against Clay Guida, coming in at minus 750. Did you ever think you would be reading that? BJ Penn plus 525 against Clay Guida minus 750. That's something. Penn 6,700, Guida 9,500. I mean, BJ Penn may not win a fight this decade. This is just kind of sad to see. Guida, he's done a little bit more lately. You know, he hasn't been great either, but he's at least got some wins of somewhat more recency. Where are you going here, Chris, with two veterans that have probably been past their prime?
Well, if you're just listening to it and you couldn't hear, I just let out a large audible sigh. I'm not sure if the podcast is going to pick this up, but yeah. Well, here's another sentence I never thought I'd say. Clay Guida is going to kill his opponent. BJ Penn was never lightning quick, but now he's just so glacially slow. And so Clay Guida is just always moving in there. He's always in and out, finding his strikes. He can mix in his wrestling. We have no idea what the status of BJ Penn's BJJ game is at this point, even if you wanted to hang your hat on that.
Yeah, we haven't seen his grappling in forever.
Yeah. And, well, if you can call getting heel hooked in about a minute by, yeah.
He was grappled.
Yeah, that's right. That's the extent of it. But, yeah, I think Clay Guida is basically going to do whatever he wants. I don't understand these fights. Like, I understood the Dennis Seaver fight. That's the only fight he ever should have had. But for some reason, he's back. I think it's just going to be sad. I think you kind of have to have Clay Guida, because I think even if he doesn't get a finish, he's just going to tally up so many strikes and takedowns. And I think he does get a finish, quite honestly. But even if he doesn't for cash, I think he's pretty safe. I don't see any way you could ever pick BJ Penn. I'm not usually 0%. In fact, our friend Otto in there just yelled at me for hedging in the last fight. But here I will not hedge. I will say very confidently that Clay Guida is going to be the victor.
Now, my question for you, Joe, is do you think Guida gets the finish here? Because he's minus 155 inside the distance. And, you know, Guida is not necessarily known for being a finisher.
I think he will get the finish here, actually. I think he was able to finish Joe Lauzon. I don't know that Joe Lauzon is that much. I'm sorry. I don't know that BJ Penn is better than Joe Lauzon.
Right. The state of Lauzon's game is better than the state of Penn's game.
Exactly. That's what I was trying to say. Yeah. So look, I like Guida here too. When you said, did you ever think you would see those kind of odds, you know, against BJ Penn? I didn't think I'd be reading that he was a drug addicted, you know, sex pervert who used training camps to get clean either. One thing I got to say though, is there's been some, some people have alluded to that he's doing this for the money. He's not. In the top 20 wealthiest MMA fighters, active or past, you want to guess where BJ Penn ranks on the list? He ranks fifth. He's got a net worth of $22 million.
BJ Penn came for money, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, I'm saying, yes, there's family money. So he's not doing this for the $150,000 show money. There was some people, and I'm not going to say who on other pods alluded to the fact that the only reason that BJ Penn is broke, that he's doing this, you know, for the $150,000 show money, he's not. There's only, four MMA fighters, past or present, that have more money than him. One of them's Conor McGregor, one of them's Brock Lesnar. So, he's not doing it for the money. So I do like Guida here. I like him a fair amount. I think he's going to be very highly owned. I think a lot of people are going to try to get him into cash lineups. There is some risk here. I mean, we are talking Clay Guida. Clay Guida once said that he's going to fight, he's going to continue to fight in MMA until he sucks. That's exactly what he said. So I don't think this is the fight where his suckitude is going to come out. I definitely like Clay Guida here quite a bit.
Yeah, the only interest I would have in Penn, like you said, is in a cash lineup. If he's going to at least return some fire and get you 20, 25 points of striking, perhaps. That ITD on Guida is, it's pretty discouraging. Penn's not even the least expensive fighter on the DraftKings slate. Houchin versus Barcelos is not that. I think he lasts longer than Penn, but if you're trying to save salary, you do have other options. But my official pick, yes, Clay Guida gets it done. All right, next fight, Irene Aldana, minus 350 to come back on Beth Correa, plus 290. Correa coming back here after a little bit of a layoff. Aldana coming on fairly strong. Aldana 9,200. Correa 7K. Joe, what do you got on this one? Another ladies fight to break.
Yeah, in. I'm loving this card. I have to say that, you know, here's a funny thing. If I was to tell you that Irene Aldana has had, what, four fights in the UFC and actually got two bonuses out of those four fights, you'd say, what? I have been impressed in her luck. She got off to, she was a minus 330 favorite against Leslie Smith. And Leslie Smith, and that was one of the bonus fights, by the way. She stood in there, but you know, she obviously, you know, Smith obviously had experience over her. Split decision loss to, you know, Caitlin, I punched the air, Chukagian. And then she had a unanimous
overwhelmed with volume.
Yeah, exactly. A unanimous decision against Bernardo and a split decision win against Pudlova, which was another war, which was a great fight. I, you know, to me, when at fight time, and again, I'm curious to see how she looks at weigh-ins. She looks like a 145er in the ring.
She's big.
She's big. Track the fighter. You know, I definitely think that, you know, the UFC has given her a very winnable fight. Betche, coming off of a 2-year layoff, that head kick knockout from Holly Holm where nothing was going on in that fight. A couple of surgeries. I have no idea what she's been doing, you know, for the last 2 years. But I like, you know, Aldana a fair amount here. You know, and if you actually look at what she scored on DK, it hasn't really been that bad. I mean, obviously there were a lot of
nice
points
score against Bernardino.
Yeah, then there were a lot of points scored, I think, in the Leslie Smith fight because of all the. You know, because of all the volume,
right.
You know, so I like, you know, I like her a hell of a lot more than Bernardo. So yeah, her four scores in DraftKings, 59 in a loss, 42 in a split decision loss, 103 in a decision win, 90 in a decision win.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if 90 is going to work in, at her price point in GPPs, but I'll certainly take 103. So we'll see where this goes. I like Aldana a fair bit here.
Well, what about you, Chris? Is 9,200 too much for Aldana in your book?
It might be. It might be. But the thing is, and the thing I noticed when I was researching this fight is Betchkaya tends to get hurt by fighters who don't really hurt their opponents that often. Obviously, Holly Holm, as Joe mentioned, the Rousey head kick notwithstanding. And then she almost got knocked out by Marion Renault in the third round of their fight. It's actually credit to her toughness that she survived. So, I mean, if you against a much more technical striker who is just going to, I think, be landing at will and keeping range, it's not that wild to think that she lands something to hurt her and change the course of the fight, especially since Kohei is going to be coming forward, just sort of throwing hooks and doing basically nothing. She might try to wall install her out as she tried to do to opponents before. So that might hurt your Irene Aldana score. Like, it's not something I'm specifically targeting, but if you wanted to take a shot in GPPs, I think she'll be lower owned because I think that we already have some more enticing 9,000 plays. We went over them. So I think she's worth a shot, and I think she would probably be an okay cash play, but it wouldn't be a main target of mine.
Yeah, I mean, for me, Kohea, she's just – at her worst, she takes too much punishment. That's when Aldana's at her best, when she can, you know, dish it out and just stay active. In the Bernardo fight, man, she came out and was just putting it on Bernardo the whole three rounds. I was surprised she didn't get a finish there, so – you know, like you said, 9,200, tough to swallow, but you could definitely mix in some Aldana. All right, Thiago Moises taking on Kurt Holubaugh. Moises minus 120, Holubaugh plus 100. this is a very interesting matchmaking in my eyes. It seems like the UFC kind of said, let's take two guys that can't get out of their own way and put them together and see what happens. You got 8,500 for Moises, Hullabaugh 7,700. Chris, which way are you leaning in this matchup?
Yeah, this is a tough one for me, and this is going to be a banger of a fight also. Thiago Moises is a prospect who looked pretty good to me, looked pretty good on the Contender Series Brazil. He didn't get to show what he had because Benil Dariush just smothered him and wrestled him, and he kept jumping for these guillotines that were nowhere close. It was just terrible. But I think he's a good stand-up fighter. I like the way he pressures. I like the way he throws in combination. He's got a good kicking game. He's got some power. Hullabaugh, too, is a good striker. I like his body work specifically. He gets hit sometimes, but I think probably he's a bit better defensively than Thiago Moises is. It must be said, too, that Thiago Moises is a jiu-jitsu black belt and apparently a good one, although maybe not the best bottom game, as we saw in that Dariush fight, but be as it may. This is a tough one to call. I like Hullabaugh. I think more so than some others. I think he's a good put together striker. He mixes in some good leg kicks too. I'm gonna go ahead and say that Hullabaugh is probably a little bit too varied. And he's probably going to take this one by just being the more varied, active striker. Thiago Moises tends to fight in bursts. But I think it's a good close fight, and I think it's one to target as somebody could definitely get finished.
Yeah, I was kind of getting the feeling that Hullabaugh might be one of the more popular dogs. Are you in line with that, Joe, or do you think Moises is the play here?
Oh, yeah, no. I mean, I think he's the whisper dog. I mean, you know, James Lynch, Adam Martin on Parting Shot made him the, you know, their consensus underdog play of the week. There's obviously some line value there. If you could see the disappointing look on my face, it's because I just checked five dimes, and perhaps it's our millions of viewers who've moved the number. But Arroyo is now opened up is only plus 175, which makes her an incredible value at 6.9K on DraftKings. At only plus 175. If you look at guys around her, minus 700, minus 525, I mean plus, I'm sorry, plus 525, plus 700, and she's only plus 175, and I'd be sure, you know, that line may actually improve, you know, get worse. So anyway, yeah, I think
that just
think,
means your ownership on her is going to be even lower, Joe.
God. Anyway, I think I think Kurt is going to be the play, the underdog play. It's not without risk, though. I mean, obviously, Moises, you know, it's hard to out-grapple Benny. Benny is kind of, he's a weird fighter. I mean, at one time I thought he would be champion, and then he just got distracted. I mean, I don't know if he needs a camp change or but whatever. He couldn't out-grapple Benny. They gave him to Benny for a win. This guy has obviously got some grappling jiu-jitsu pedigree. Kurt is... Look, he's decent all around. I don't think he's great anywhere. But, you know, if you look at the line value, that often translates into high ownership. So I definitely, at his price point, I definitely see him as one of the higher owned fighters, you know, other than maybe Volkanovski at sub 8K. So, I'm picking him. I'm going to pick him to win. I don't think it's without risk, but I'm picking him to win, and I do expect him to be very high owned.
Yeah, tough call for me. I mean, I'm on the same path everybody is with Hullabaugh. You look at his, you know, his track record recently, and it's understandable, a loss to Barcelos. He had the Burgos fight won. He just had to not fall into an armbar, and that would have been a victory. I mean, yeah.
Heartbreaking.
Yeah, and you saw his reaction right after the armbar, too. Was like, what did I just do, man? I had this won. But, you know, nonetheless, another mistake. So, if everybody's leaning Hullabaugh's way, that makes me want to pick Moises. I think his challenge, Thiago's challenge, is if people are coming forward against him, he tends to not be as good of a fighter as when he can go forward, which is probably going to be the case with Hullabaugh. He's going to bring it to him. So really tough fight to pick. But I'll go down as Moises just to mix it up here.
Okay.
All right, getting into the top of the main card here. We got Jose Aldo making one of his final appearances, insisting to fight only in Brazil, so he's got that here, minus 135. Alexander Volkanovski, his opponent, plus 115. Volk, definitely an up-and-comer, charging up the rankings. Finally got some real competition against Chad Mendes, and he prevailed, but it was not without some struggles. He got he definitely had his chin cracked a couple times by Mendes before he was able to finish Mendes off. Aldo, we all thought he was done, but turns out he just was done when he's facing, a world beater like Max Holloway, and he can beat guys who aren't a top three fighter. So a lot at stake here. Chris, which way are you leaning in this matchup at 145?
Yeah, it's tough because, part of I think where Aldo fell down against Max is when Max started to pour on the pressure, and that's Volkanovski all over the place. The reason I think I'm kind of picking Aldo, beside my Max Aldo love, of course, Max Aldo, Jose Aldo love, of course.
You go Max Aldo.
There you go. I would love to make a fighter called Max Aldo. He would be amazing. But I think the reason I'm gonna take Aldo here is because I don't like Volkanovski's striking defense. He tends to just shell up, and that's how Chad Mendes rocked him the first time. Is he threw a hook around the guard and caught him, and Aldo loves throwing his hooks. That's Aldo's favorite punch. So I think he's going to crack him there. In fact, it was funny. I was rewatching the fight today, and just as Joe Rogan said, Mendes isn't really doing that much because these shots are getting blocked. That's when the rock shot got through. So that was a nice piece of poetry because Joe Rogan kind of annoys me. But be that as it may, that's kind of my read on the fight. Obviously, I think that Aldo is going to be stuffing takedowns. He's got the highest takedown stuff percentage in the sports history through as many fights. I think it's like 94% or something.
Yeah,
94. I think, though, I'm going to have to steal some narrative from Joe here because, as I mentioned on the end of last week's pod, Aldo was indeed dealing with some kind of infection. I believe it was an infection. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, a knee infection.
Knee infection, that's what it was. So I actually don't like that this fight is happening for Aldo right at this second because I think he has a lot of esteem built up now, as you mentioned there, Mike, in the beginning. And I think if he's going in here less than 100%, it could hurt him. I also fear that, he's towards the end and he's in Brazil and he really wanted to fight here, as you also said. So I think that he would take this fight no matter what, which worries me. But, I can't guess what's in and what's out, so I'm going to just go by what I see on the tape. And the tape tells me Aldo, but if you're picking on DraftKings, you have to be aware of it. I think you should have some Aldo because maybe that news will take some people off of him. But you have to have some Volkanovski too because you just don't know how Aldo's going to react in there, and it's a shame. So the pick is Aldo, but, be careful.
Yeah, I think the knee injury is worrying some people. And Aldo hasn't looked quite as crisp, as his former self. He's getting on in years and coming to the end of his career, though. Joe, who are you picking in this?
Well, I remember when Volkanovski made his debut, I reached out to the, Australian Twittersphere and said, hey, what do you know about this local fighter, Volkanovski? I got the 411 on him, and I went on him big. And he ended up scoring, I believe 107 points, in his first fight where they had a salary for him.
He's been a wrecking machine.
Yeah. I mean, he's DraftKings gold. The average is 112.2 points in his fights, 7.8K all day long. Volkanovski. I am really, really high on, I love the narrative on Aldo. But, give Aldo two good knees, and I still like Volkanovski here. I like him in cash. I like him in GPPs. I kind of like him everywhere. but I'm going to be very, very heavily invested in Volkanovski.
But how can Volkanovski be that kind of wrecking machine here when he's not going to hit, when he's not going to get takedowns?
I think he's going to wear Aldo out. I think he will get takedowns. I think he will, as Aldo gets more tired.
Takedowns. Well, that could be your hot take.
as he gets Aldo tired, he'll get more takedowns. Anyway, we'll see. I am going to have shares of Aldo as well. I mean, narrative aside, but I'm going to be more heavily invested in Volkanovski.
Do you think this fight, any chance this fight goes to a decision?
It's possible because it's only a three rounder. Yeah. So it's possible, but, I am expecting a finish.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if you've ever given a dog a bath that doesn't want a bath, like that's Jose Aldo trying to take him down.
That's very good.
It's just, he's not sitting still 1 second.
I love it.
So that's the issue for me is, and he still has that. His takedown defense hasn't fallen off at all.
That's awesome.
So, you know, for Volkanovski, even if he earns the takedown, you know, it's going to be hard won, and it's going to be hard to keep Aldo down. And if it's back up on the feet, Aldo just, you know, he's got that he swings for the fences. It's all or nothing for him. He wants to throw hooks and destroy your face. And, you know, Volk, he's got a good chin from what we've seen, but he's also had to use that chin. And that could be trouble. You know, my initial lean when I was just getting into fight prep was Volkanovski. But the more I thought about it, it's I'm getting scared of a possible knockout. And I think I'm picking Aldo here. Which, you know, it's he doesn't throw with volume. It's maybe not a great DraftKings play, but, you know, if you let him hit you in the face, he's still got a ton of power, which Volkanovski is likely to experience. So that's two Aldos to one Volkanovski if you're keeping score at home. All right, to the co-main, Jared Cannonier, -130, taking on Anderson Silva, another Brazilian legend, +110. Here in the co-main, Cannonier 8,700, Silva 7,500. Silva's actually looked pretty decent to me. You know, in his twilight here, Joe, you got any interest in Silva or are you playing Cannonier?
No, I mean, look, I do have some, I played an early parlay where I included Cannonier. I mean, granted it was Branch, but he did look good at middleweight. He looks about as ripped as a middleweight can be. You know, this is a guy who's, I mean, I'm sorry. He looks about as ripped as a guy who's fought at heavyweight can be at middleweight. Yeah. I like the progression. I honestly feel that Adesanya carried Silva for a while and did not really push a finish there. I think if Silva tries to goof off in this fight, I really do think he can get clipped and knocked out. I'd like to see him fight a more technical fight and not kind of let his emotions get the better of him. I will have shares of Silva, but I'm going to pick Cannonier to win. And I would not be surprised if he knocked him out.
Interesting. Yeah. For me, I don't like that Silva, you know, it's hard to hit. At least he used to be. We'll see what he is coming up here, but that scares me on Cannonier's end, but yeah, he's got the power. Chris, where do you fall on this co-main?
I think, Jared Cannonier has two main weaknesses as far as I can tell. One of them is a jab. He basically just turns to putty if you have a good, consistent jab, which we saw in the Jan Błachowicz fight. And David Branch was doing that, but decided he wanted to be like a varsity wrestler instead and tired himself out, which really made me angry. But the other thing is wrestling, but I mean like a better wrestler than a guy like David Branch is, who's not going to, you know, exhaust the gas tank wrestling. But to his credit, I mean, he did show better get-ups in that fight, but that's neither here nor there. The point is that Anderson Silva doesn't have either of those things. Also, he tends to still like to, you know, plant himself back against the cage and do the Muhammad Ali movement thing, which was a lot cooler when it actually worked, when he was fast enough to make
it. Yeah, but before Chris Weidman knocked it right out of him.
Well, and also Adesanya was tagging him when he was trying to do it. You know, it just doesn't work anymore, but I think he's going to try to do it. I think that Cannonier is going to pressure him, and once Cannonier is the one doing the pressuring, he's got a pretty good boxing game himself. He's got a nice stiff jab. He can throw in combination. He has power. I just think that Cannonier is going to be doing way too much here. Can Silva catch him? Of course, he can catch him with a head kick or something. But I just think Cannonier is the better equipped fighter at this point. I know that people are like you know, more comfortable with Silva because he's gotten through his recent fights without getting totally killed, which I think is what some of us expected. But, I mean, that's a pretty low bar, and yeah. I don't think we should be elevating him too much on the space of that. I think that Cannonier is the better fighter here, and I think he's coming in for a big win.
Yeah, that's interesting. Like I said, you know, even though he's probably less shifty than he used to be, Silva, that is, he's still not an easy guy to hit. So I worry about Cannonier at 8,700. I don't have much interest in Silva as a DraftKings play at 7,500 even. You know, a plus 110 betting line, that doesn't thrill me either, but I'd rather bet Silva than play him on DraftKings. But yeah, I'll take the legend. I'll take Silva.
All right.
Mix it up again here. All right, now we're on to the main event.
Well, hang on there. Mike, we missed a couple of fights, so let's...
Did we miss?
Yeah, let's go to... we missed Nagarispan and Trinaldo.
Oh, okay. Sorry, my sheet jumped on me there.
Oh, no, that's all right. Let's just go to that.
Yeah,
let's,
I'll pick up. All right, so yeah, we got Antonio Rogerio Nogueira. He is plus 115. Taking on Ryan Spann, minus 135. Nogueira... 7,400 on DraftKings, Span 8,800. That's an interesting one. You've got yet another Brazilian legend. Where do you fall on this one, Chris?
Look, the problem with Lil Nog getting that knockout of Sam Alvey, even though I loved it because I'm not really a big fan of Sam Alvey. I think I'm in the minority there, but he just irritates me, is that now you have to fight actual guys at light heavyweight, which means you have to fight athletic guys, which is not going to be good for a 40-year-old Nogueira here, who basically just plods forward at this point and throws a crisp 1-2. And that's good enough to beat a Sam Alvey, who just, like, backs himself into the corner. But, I mean, a guy like Ryan Spann is athletic. He's quick. He's got a nice stiff jab himself. I think he's just going to be so much faster than Nogueira here. It's really going to be something. He can even use a little bit of wrestling if he wants to. He's a big dude for this division. I don't see a lot of good for Nogueira here. I would be pretty surprised if he's not on the wrong end of a knockout here. Light heavyweight is just the wrong place to be for a 40-year-old plotter who can sometimes throw a 1-2 and was a good boxer in his day, of course. But, you know, Sam Alvey was a middleweight, not a great one at that. Now we're getting to the real athletes, and I think it's over. So I'm going to pick Ryan Spann by knockout.
Yeah, I mean, Sam Alvey basically invites you to come in and throw with him, and he's either going to knock you out or get knocked out. What about you, Joe? Do you think Little Nog has got enough juice left to pull one more off, or are you back in Spann?
Yeah, well, I hate to go against Little Nog in Brazil, but common sense tells me that I should take Spann, the more athletic guy here. So that's what I'm going to do. I am likely going to have a fair amount of bolt. Well, at least I'm probably going to have more Little Nog just because of the price value and mass entry. Right. But, you know, in case, because he can. Although Little Nog, again, I would caution anyone playing him in cash because I see him as all ceiling and no floor.
Right.
His floor is zero. You know, so I will have shares of him in GPPs, but I'm going to pick Spann for the win.
Yeah, I mean, both guys have a pretty decent inside the distance line. Nogueira 202, plus 202, and Spann plus 118. So odds makers don't think this one's going to the scorecards either. You know, I'm tempted to roster some Nogueira, just, you know, given that we have seen Spann look chinny in the past, but it's not a great bet. So, yeah, I'll pick Spann here as well. All right, this one's an interesting matchup. Francisco Trinaldo, plus 155, taking on Diego Feira, minus 175. Both of these guys Brazilians, but it seems Trinaldo's probably going to be the crowd favorite. Do you think that plays into this, Joe? Is that a narrative you're getting interested in? Or
yeah, I mean, look, I Trinaldo is so tough, and I have so much respect for him. I mean, you know, there's stories about, like, when he was first starting out, how you know, he could either pay for training or take the bus. And, you know, he ended up walking back and forth because he didn't have money to get home from training. You know, so I really like what he's accomplished. I mean, he's a tough guy. He certainly has a puncher's chance here. I mean, you know, I think the trajectory of Ferreira is higher, but I would not rule Trinaldo out. And he's very attractive at 7.2K on DraftKings. I mean, I'm ultimately going to pick Ferreira for the win. I was a little concerned with how he got stung by Kyle Nelson, but then again, his hands looked really good in his last fight against the Russian. So I'm going to go with Ferreira here. I do have Trinaldo as having a puncher's chance, and at 7.2K, I will have some shares of him, but the pick is Ferreira.
Yeah, I mean, Fayda is, he's fallen in love with his hands a little bit, and that's scary against a guy like Trinaldo that can absolutely do some damage. You know, you'd rather see it get to the mat if you're back in Fayda. What about you, Chris? Which Brazilian are you taking in this matchup?
Yeah, this is a tough one. I ultimately settled on Fayda just because I agree with Joe that Fayda's striking has come a long way. I think he's got a nice stiff jab now. I think he throws in combination well. The one thing that has me sort of flustered is I noted on a previous podcast when we were talking about Fayda that he tends to not do well with fighters who throw in combination because he tends to stay in the pocket a little too long. And I think that can hurt him here because Master Nduba likes to counter and he likes to counter in combination. I'm still picking Fayda here just for the work rate and the fact that actually we have seen him lean on his wrestling when he needs it. He leaned on his wrestling in that Kyle Nelson fight. Look, he had to get hurt before he did it. So, you know, there's a question there. Trinaldo can get his takedowns as well. I think Fayda is the more polished takedown artist of the two. I just think ultimately that Fayda has a more developed game here, and I think that's why I'm going with him. I think he can absolutely be caught by Master Nduba, and so I do think having both is warranted. But my pick's Fayda.
Yeah, I think you got that pretty accurately. That, you know, if he needs to lean on it, the wrestling is there. You know, Trinaldo, he can kind of become a bit of a mad dog where he'll chase you around the ring. You know, he just chased James Vick around the ring for three rounds and was not able to accomplish anything against him. You know, he's got a submission loss to Kevin Lee. So, you know, it hasn't been a great stretch for him. And even his most recent fight against Evan Dunham, you know, knocking Evan Dunham out to the body is not all that much of an accomplishment these days. You know, his body kind of quit on him after some punishment. So I do like Trinaldo as a bit of a wild card GPP play, but yeah, I'll take Faye as well as a pick. All right, we've got Thiago Alves taking on Laureano Staropoli. Both guys coming in at -110. So you got to pick them here. Joe, which side are you going to back? You got another Brazilian veteran, as usual, on these cards.
Yeah, huh. Okay, so what are the odds again?
Pick them, sir.
Yeah, I got to pick them. Both -110.
Okay.
I mean, we haven't seen that much out of Alves lately. It's not been good.
Yeah, I'd like to think that, look, I mean,
you know, that split decision victory over Max Griffin was not a, you know,
it was home cooking, right?
It was not a victory, yeah.
Let's just put that away. And Staropoli was, he beat the
I like to say
the barn play. Yeah, the barn play, like, you know, when the jockeys and the grooms whisper about what's the best horse. You know, everybody and their brother was on Aldana in that fight. And Staropoli comes out and just, like, starches them. So, I mean, I like to think that in Brazil, Thiago has enough to get by this guy. I don't know that I love the fight all that much. I'm probably not going to have a ton of exposure to it. I will probably have, I mean, and the pricing is very close, 8.2 to 8. I'll probably have slightly more exposure to Thiago and a few shares of Staropoli, but I certainly think you can fade this. I mean, I see this going more to a decision, and I just don't know what type of scores you're going to get. So I'll tentatively pick Alves, but again, I don't I don't love this fight. It's one of my least favorite fights. I don't know how it got on the main card for pay-per-view, which is kind of crazy. Like, why do you want to see this fight and not Silver Cannoneer? I mean, I'm sorry, Silver Cannoneer is on it, but I mean, there are other fights. Like, you could even put Little Nog, you know, on this, on the main card, or, you know, there are other fights. So in any case, I'll pick Thiago.
Yeah. I mean, it's on the main, but like, there's so many other Brazilian legends that you have to put the fix in for. I don't know that there's enough budget left for Alves.
Yeah.
But what about you, Chris?
Yeah. That's a good point. They need to, how many fixes before they catch on to us? They'll have to see. But yeah, I agree. I disagree with Joe a little bit, just because, I mean, Staropoli is interesting because there was very limited tape on him coming into that Aldana fight. And the tape we did see was him being this extreme counter puncher who occasionally knocks somebody out with a hard counter. And then he comes out in that Aldana fight and he's just swinging these wild hooks and he just never stops swinging. And so it kind of took me aback. I mean, I'll admit that I was totally underwater for that fight. I had no idea what was going on. But, you know, that can happen if there's limited tape and then these guys get with, you know, real trainers or they get a different fight style. And, you know, so the thing we need to ask ourselves about Staropoli now is that his fighting style going forward? Like, is that how he's actually going to fight? I think we have to assume the answer is yes, because we've already seen it once. And, you know, that makes this really interesting because Alves was really having trouble when Max would try to just swarm him with punches. And I think Staropoli can do that here. Now,
same thing with Melander.
Yeah, yeah, exactly right. And the one thing I do like about Alves here is he's still got his movement, especially early in fights. He can still move around a little bit. He can still evade some strikes. And I think that Staropoli's striking is not that sophisticated, as I said. Basically just wild hooks. He might throw a kick or two in there. So I think Alves' own kicking game that we did see in the beginning of that Max Griffin fight and was really on point. Looked like vintage Alves with some of those kicks. I think that can come in handy here. And I think that, you know, I think I'm just going to slightly lean towards Alves just for the experience here. I mean, Staropoli's still that guy that we know nothing about, except he's got one more fight against another guy that we know basically nothing about. So I have to just assume that Alves's composure and movement will be enough to get this done. But you can't really sleep on Staropoli because he's going to come forward with that pressure. And if he overwhelms Alves, eclipses him, he can knock him out. So the pick is Alves. I actually think this fight has a much better chance of finishing than Joe does. So we disagree a little there. I would have both sides of it. I think somebody is probably going to sleep if provided Staropoli fights the way we saw him fight Aldana.
Yeah, I just can't pick Alves. The only legitimate win he's got in the last 4 years is Patrick Cote in 2017, and that's
retirement
fight. He looked good in that fight, though.
Yeah, Cote looked like he'd been spent a little too much time on the couch in the midsection. But, you know, that's not a great reason to pick Staropoli, but I can't do it with Alves. Give me Staropoli. It's a pick 'em really close in the DraftKings pricing. You know, Alves 8,200, Staropoli 8K. So you get a little savings there as well. All right. Sorry for jumping around there, guys.
Those
were the fights we missed. Now we are ready for the main event. Rose Namajunas taking on Jessica Andrade. The challenger is actually the favorite here. Andrade -125, Namajunas +105. Not all that often we see that happen. You've got you know, the skill set, the wrestling base playing into that probably, as well as Andrade being on home turf there in Brazil. But you know, Namajunas just dispatched Joanna and Jacek. You know, I wouldn't say easily, but handedly twice. So I feel like there's maybe not enough respect on Rose coming into this one. Joe, yet another ladies fight.
Yeah, I mean, probably not. I mean, you know, there is narrative on this. I mean, you know, Rose's anxiety issues have been well known. I mean, apparently the traumatic effect of the dolly thrown at the bus and MSG. You know, the fact that she's got like a companion dog now. You know, also, I believe she had neck surgery. I love Rose Namajunas. I mean, Rose Namajunas won me a DraftKings contest that got me like to go to Orlando and meet Frank Mir, right? So nice. I love Rose Namajunas. I just think Andrade is something special here. I mean, she's a bulldog. She I don't know how you hurt her. She's got power slams. I look at, and again, I don't necessarily believe in MMA math, but I look at a couple of things. One is I think that Rose could have actually lost two fights to Tisha Torres and not one. I actually scored the second fight for Tisha. Forget about that, though. That was a long time ago. The fact that she lost to Carolina, that was not a great loss.
Yeah.
I just see, and Carolina pressured her a bit. So I see Andrade coming out there like a steamroller. And, you know, again, another fighter that has been DraftKings gold over her last three fights. 136, 155, 119. I mean, that is some serious scoring. So my pick is going to be Jessica Andrade. Although I will have shares of Namajunas because, again, you're right, she's not getting respect. But I like Andrade, and I am actually picking Andrade by finish.
Yeah, that's an interesting one because, you know, all three of Rose's losses have been to people who pressured her. Esparza as well there, you didn't mention. Yep. She brought the wrestling, and that's kind of been the Achilles heel for Rose. And obviously, Jessica Andrade is in a class of her own in wrestling in this division. Chris, where are you falling?
Yeah, so here's the thing with this. Rose is going to have to essentially do what what's her name? Joanna, I don't know why I blanked on that.
Joanna.
What Joanna did to Andrade, which is sort of just play keep away and sort of dodge and counter-strike. It's been a long time, and admittedly, and I don't know how much we can take from this, but Rose has really only fought one really dedicated wrestler in her career. That was Carla Esparza, and she took her down five times. Now, as I said, that was a long time ago now, but it's really all we have to go on as far as the wrestling defense is concerned. She was also taken down once by Michelle Waterson. She ended up finishing Waterson in that fight, so that fight didn't go long enough for us to see. But, I'm with Joe here. I think that it takes special kind of fighter to just withstand that pressure for all five rounds or for all three rounds or however long the fight's going to go. I mean, Claudia Gadelha, look how good she was doing in that first round. And then it just broke her. She started getting in closer and closer. The takedowns came. I think the takedowns will come here. Now, we've seen Rose's improvement as a striker, and it's been drastic. She keeps distance very well now. As in those Joanna fights, she was really good at slipping out of the way of shots and returning with counters. She covers distance really well. We saw that with the leap, the hooks that she kept landing on Joanna. But I just think that the pressure is going to get to her. I don't think that she's going to be able to withstand it for all five rounds, and I don't think she's got enough power to stop Andrade. We haven't seen anything on this earth yet with enough power, at least in this division, to stop Andrade. So, I'm going Andrade here, but I think this could be a very stackable fight as well. I think, I mean, look, I could be wrong. Maybe she comes out and she does play the keep away, but I can't bank on that. And for the same reason, I couldn't pick Sandhagen last week, who did end up winning, although I thought that fight was closer than most. But I do agree he won that fight against Lineker. And the reason I didn't pick Sandhagen here was because I couldn't trust him to be perfect for all three rounds. And I can't trust Rose to be perfect for all five. So I'm going Andrade.
Yeah, I think you're going to see Rose survive at least enough to make it a definite stack cash. Are you stacking this in cash, Joe? Mainly,
I'm thinking about it. I haven't set my cash lineup yet, but I understand the allure to stacking it in cash. I just don't know if if I, you know, if I could find value like Arroyo at 6.9K, where I don't have to stack it in cash.
Right. And it's not like Andrade's 9K where you need the other side of that coin.
Exactly.
So you've got options, but I feel like it's going to be most of the cash opponents you're playing this week are going to have this stack.
Yep.
So there's maybe something to be said for that. And you want to have it and then go 4-for-4 on the other fighters against your opponent.
Yep.
You know, for me though, I'm probably going to split it down the middle in tournament plays, but I'm going to pick Rose just because it's there's going to be ownership on Andrade much higher. You're getting a little savings with Rose, and I don't think people want to play her. I think it's a smarter play to play Andrade. You know, the wrestling base is going to play very well, but if Rose can figure it out and pull out a victory, that stands to win you some money, in my opinion. So just a little game theory at work there for me.
Sure. I get it.
All right, guys. Who wants to lead off hot takes? Anybody got
one? I gave my hot take. Unfortunately, the hotness of the take, I'm disappointed by the current line. But I am definitely – I'm picking the upset at 6.9K over Bernardo. That's my hot take.
Chris, you have one ready?
Yeah. Well, Joe just took the whole rooms, I think. So,
come on.
But fortunately, actually, I don't know if that's hot enough. Yeah, let me see if I can find a good one. Mike, you ready?
I got one here. I'm going to say Irene Aldana gets her first UFC finish.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
I'll buy that for $1. Yeah.
There you go. Okay, so you guys tell me what's hot, because I don't know anymore. If Aldo finishes Volkanovski, is that hot?
I think so.
Yeah,
I think moderately. So. What's the prop on that?
I don't know. Can
Aldo 275 inside the distance?
I think that's pretty good.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we'll take that. And here, let's Mike, before we go, you want to read a couple in the chat there? There was a couple scrolled up.
Take a look here. Got Killer Gorilla knocks Anderson stiff from Ryan Barton. Not that hot, but that would still surprise people. You know,
I think it would. Yeah, I think it would.
Anytime Anderson Silva gets knocked out, it's it catches your eye.
Yeah,
you know, it's only been done a handful of times. You got Hills S says Trinaldo TKO in the second. I could see that happening.
Okay. Yeah. I have a lot of Trinaldo.
Gotta just say here, because I saw it before. Sorry, it's Otto says Thug Rose Nami units by submission.
Ooh.
Now, yeah. Now we have seen Andrade subbed before, not at this weight class, but we have seen before. So, you know, I don't see it, but that's why they call them hot takes. So we appreciate it.
Well, that would make me happy if I continue to play the percentages I think I'm going to. So.
Yeah.
Anything else, guys, before we wrap it up?
No, man. Good luck to everybody.
I think we had a good show. I think this is going to be a great card. I think it's going to be a high scoring card. I'm really interested in some of these fights, even some of the lower tier fights, like the Moses Holiba fight. I'm really interested in. I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and I think it's going to be high scoring, and can't wait to see you freaks on Twitter the night of the fight.
Sounds good, man.
You're really going to have to get your dogs right, because there's a lot of guys in play. So
Yes.
Do your homework. All right, guys. Good luck this week.
All right. You too. I will take us out. Bye.